सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणे।
सारी, वी स्टार्ट फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग। थैंक यू। ॐ ॐ ॐ
ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं
नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः।
ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। देयर वाज़ अ फेमस स्पैनिश कैथलिक मिस्टिक नेम सेंट जॉन ऑफ द क्रॉस हु रोट लॉट ऑफ beautiful ideas and teachings. One of the ideas that he mentioned was that there are three veils or three curtains that shield the truth from us. And he mentioned the three veils as being ignorance, ego, that is me, I and my, and the third one is failure to see God or to know God. So those are the three veils that were mentioned in the teachings of this great saint. And we see that 5,000 years ago, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has already uncovered these veils for us in the Bhagavad Gita. So the first one is ignorance. And Arjuna, in the first chapter, shows us that he is confused about his duty and does not know that why he is fighting the war. It is not for a piece of land or not because of hatred of his cousins, but because of dharma, he is fighting for righteousness. And so when he is confused, yat shreyo syat nishchitam bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. So Arjuna tells Bhagavan Shri Krishna, please tell me what is shreyas, what is good for me, because I am your shishya, I am your devotee, and I surrender to you. Shadhi mam tvam prapannam, I am surrendering to you. And that is how one should approach the teacher, with the idea of surrender, not that I already know it and let me see what the teacher can tell me additional. And then Bhagavan Shri Krishna in the second chapter removes his ignorance through the teaching of Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya means Sankhya, that means counting. So a systematic treatment of the subject, where throughout the second chapter Bhagavan starts with the highest knowledge that each one of us is that Supreme Self and none of us ever dies. We were never born and we will never die. We were always there, all of us, because there is only one consciousness. And then he comes down to the level of, you know, everything is inevitable, who is born and will die, and then tells him what is his duty as a Kshatriya and how people will laugh at him. So at all levels, Bhagavan Shri Krishna removes his ignorance with knowledge. The second veil is ego, I, me and my. And that Bhagavan removes in the third to the fifth chapter, where he talks about karma yoga. What is your duty? Your duty is to society without I and my, without the doership, as an instrument of the Lord. With that attitude, you should work in the world. And that is how you should approach every action. Whatever you do, do it as service of the Lord, as an instrument of God. And in the fourth and fifth chapter, in the fourth chapter, Bhagavan tells him how to work for the benefit of all, for the benefit of society, how to work in collaboration with everyone and make every activity you do as a yajna, as an offering to God, and unite your mind with God when you are doing any work. It can be even a simple work as cleaning the bathroom or sweeping the floor or cooking or whatever we are doing, make it as God's work. And of course, when we are seeing patients or when we are working in the office or working on a computer, one should see God in everything. After teaching him about meditation in the sixth chapter, then seventh to ninth, Bhagavan Shri Krishna removes the third veil, which was that we don't see God. And we see the variety. We see things as me and mine and all these, you know, I like this person, I don't like this person. All these differences, you know, this is good, this is bad, this is hot, this is cold, you know, this is joy, this is sorrow. So Bhagavan Shri Krishna says a wise person remains balanced in all these pairs of opposites and sees me in everything, because I am. This whole universe has come from me. I am the origin of the universe. I sustain the universe and the universe merges back into me. The example they give is of mud. In a pot, it's unmanifest in the mud, appears from the mud, is sustained by mud while it is a pot, and then if the pot breaks, it merges back into mud. So similarly, you and I were unmanifest with God, appeared in him, and then will merge back into him. So that is, so 7th to 9th chapter, he shows him how my devotee functions in the world. And he says, I take care of them. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. So now we come to the 10th chapter, which we are doing currently. And the 10th chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga. I'm sure you all remember that. But just to summarize, and Arjuna asks the Lord, how am I to see you? How am I to meditate on you? Keshu keshu cha bhavoshi bhavosi. How can I meditate on you? In what particular forms I can meditate? How can I see you? Chintyosi bhagavan maya. Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintyosi. How can I meditate upon you? And can you tell me vistaren atmano yogam? Tell me all your glories. So Bhagavan Shri Krishna says, hatate kathayishyami He says, I cannot tell you all because it is impossible, because as we had said, it is easier to count all the grains of sand in the ocean, to count all the stars in the sky, but to count Bhagavan's glories is much more than that, because his glories are not only on this universe, but all the other planets, universes, all the other Brahmandas, and also in all the heavens and all the, you know, higher worlds, lower worlds. So to count the Lord's glories is impossible. So Bhagavan says, I will tell you, Pradhan Yata Kuru Shrestha Nasti Anto Vistarasya Me. I'll tell you the few important ones, so that those examples will then help you to see my glory everywhere, because there is no end to my glories. And so Bhagavan Sri Krishna starts telling his glories, and the first one is the most important, where he says, Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhutashaya Sthitaha Aham Adischa Madhyancha Bhutanam Anta Evacha. I am the Atma, I am the Self, not only of you, but of all beings, all animals, birds, plants, humans, everybody. I am the Self, the consciousness, the Atma. It's because of me that everything is illumined, everything is enlivened by my presence, Bhagavan says. And then he says, I am the beginning, middle, and end. As we said, just as the pot, the mud is the beginning, middle, and end of the pot, so Bhagavan is the beginning, middle, and end of the universe. And that verse, if we understand, then there is nothing more to study. Because the once you have understood that I am that, that this my Atma, my consciousness, which is verse number 20, then you don't need to see the Lord's glories. But you and I say, oh no, no, that's too difficult. We want to see you alive, living. And we want to see you in a particular form, not as my Atma. That's too difficult. So Bhagavan says, okay, then I will tell you the specific glories. But he says, I will tell you the divine bhutis. Vibhutis, divya vibhutaya. Why? Because once you see God in the divine, then you can see God in everything. And so he starts with Aditya Nam Aham Vishnuhu Jyotisham Raviran Shuman Marichir Marutam Asmi, etc. So Nakshatra Nam Aham Shashi. So he starts with that. He says, among Adityas I am Bhagavan Vishnu, among the lights I am the sun and the moon, among the winds I am, you know, Marichi, and among the stars I am the moon, among all the constellations. So this, what he's saying is that whatever is the most glorious, the best in everything, I am. And Bhagavan will continue his list. We had done a few 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. So we'll resume today with verse number 23, where Bhagavan will tell us more of his glories. Rudranam Shankaras Chasmi.
Rudranam Shankaras Chasmi.
Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam.
Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam.
Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi.
Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi.
Meru Shikari Namaham.
Meru Shikari Namaham.
All together. Rudranam Shankaras Chasmi. Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam. Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi. Meru Shikari Namaham. So he says, among Rudras, what are Rudras? We'll talk about. I am Shankara. I am Bhagavan Shiva. I am the, among all the Rudras, I am Shankara. And Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam. Among the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am Vitesha. Vitesha means the treasurer of the god, who is Kubera. Then he says, Vasu Nam, among all the Vasus, I will describe what is Vasus. I am Pavaka, I am Asmi, I am the fire. And Meru Shikari Namaham, among all the mountains, Shikara, mountains, I am Meru, Meru Parvat. So what is Rudras? Rudras are said to be the gods of destruction. And why is God worshipped as God of destruction? Because destruction is required for creation of something new. As Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji in his commentary says, a flower has to perish for a fruit to come. A fruit has to perish for a seed to be taken out. Then a seed has to perish to create a tree. So this creation constantly goes on. If our grandparents, great-grandparents and all were still alive and nobody died, then there would be no room for new beings to come. If the dinosaurs were ruling the earth and no other species was allowed to thrive, a meteor came and destroyed all the dinosaurs so that evolution could go on. So destruction is an important part of creation. It is called creative destruction. That's why we worship Lord Shiva, who is the one who is destroyer, who takes us at the time of death, when it's time for us to leave. And then also Rudra also means Rodayati, which makes us cry. And why do we worship somebody who makes us cry? That's not good. But think about it. When a person is doing evil or doing wrong things, when his karmas come back to haunt him, to give him the results of his karmas, obviously there will be suffering. Secondly, many times suffering comes as an opportunity for us to grow. Problems come in everybody's life, as we had even talked on New Year's Day. Problems come to everybody's life, but when you look at the problem as a blessing, as an opportunity for me to grow, because when every problem comes, every difficulty comes, whether it's physical, emotional, economic, you know, political, there is always a hidden message that I have to get from it. And so that is the Lord's way of making us grow. So that is why Rudra is worshipped. And then Shankaras Chasmi. Shankar means Shankaroti, that Bhagwan which is very peaceful and gives us peaceful and peace and auspiciousness. Shankaroti iti Shankar. That's why he says, among the Rudras, I am Shankara. Among the Yakshas and Rakshasas, these are the beings in the different worlds, I am Kubera, Vitesha. Vitesha means the treasurer, and Kubera is the treasurer of the gods and is said to have all the wealth. And in some communities on Diwali, they not only worship Mother Lakshmi, but they worship also Kubera, that may I have enough wealth, enough for comfort to live my life. So he says among the Rakshasas and Yakshas, Kubera is a Yaksha, I am Kubera. Vasu nam pavakas chasmi, among the Vasus. Who are the Vasus? Vasus are the eight deities of the elements. So there are five elements: space, air, fire, water, earth, and then sun, moon, and stars. So these are the eight elements that are described in our Puranas, and the Vasus are said to be the gods of the eight elements. So the Vasus control these eight elements. And among them, Bhagwan says, I am fire. Because fire, Pavaka means, is a purifier. Pavaka, the name itself, means purifies. And how does fire purify? Think about it in the Yajna when we offer Panditji is doing the yajna and we offer our oblations into the fire, and in that chanting of the mantra, our mind gets so purified. And the fire is said to be the messenger, the FedEx, which transports our prayers to the gods. And also the atmosphere after a yajna, when you can smell all the beautiful fragrance of the yajna, that whole air gets purified. So that's why he says, I am fire. Fire also purifies our instruments, you know, our medical instruments. When they are sterilized in hot water and chemicals. Fire also is in the dishwasher, you know, in the dishwasher or in your washing machine, it is the hot water which cleans the dishes or cleans the clothes along with the chemicals. So fire is a purifier. That's why he says, among all the elements, I am fire, which is the purifier. Meru Shikari Namaham, among the shikars, among the mountains, I am Meru, Meru Parvat. Some people translate Meru as the Himalayas or Everest, but that is not correct. Meru is described in our Puranas as a mythical mountain, which is said to be 7,000 to 8,000 miles high. How high is Mount Everest? 5 miles. Mount Everest is only 5 miles. So this is 7,000 to 8,000 miles in height. And it is said to be the center of the entire cosmos. Yeah. See, all the galaxies, everything is rotating. Even though these stars look stationary, they are constantly rotating. All the galaxies are rotating. Everything is rotating. So it is said that Meru Parvat is the center of this entire cosmos. And the entire cosmos revolves around this Meru Parvat, which is the center of the entire, not only this our universe or this Milky Way, but the entire cosmos. So that's why he says, among the mountains, I am Meru Parvat. So the idea is that wherever you see anything glorious, anything beautiful, anything big, anything great, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, you can see my vibhuti, my glories. Now we'll do verse number 24. Even though Sudha is chanting, you can all keep your phones muted and chant after us, with us. And then at the end, we'll all chant together. Verse number 24. Purodhasancha mukhyam maam.
Purodhasancha mukhyam maam.
Vidhi partha brihaspatim. Senani namaham skandaha.
Senani namaham skandaha.
Sarasamasmi sagaraha.
Sarasamasmi sagaraha.
Together. Purodhasancha mukhyam maam. Vidhi partha brihaspatim. Senani namaham skandaha. Sarasamasmi sagaraha. So, Purodha. Who is a Purodha? Purodha are the priests. The Gurudev says the household priests or all the priests, the ones who do all the prayers, the rituals, the ones who give us the knowledge. So, cha mukhyam mam, and the chief among them or the best among them that is worshipped is Brihaspati. So Vidhi Partha, O Arjuna, Partha, Vidhi, know me as Brihaspati. So among all the priests and among all the teachers, I am Brihaspati. And why? Because Brihaspati is said to be the teacher of the gods. He is the teacher of all the gods. So it is said that he not only knows the Vedas and has contributed to the Vedas, but also teaches the gods who then run this universe. So Brihaspati is the best of all teachers. And here Bhagavan mentions teachers because among all teachers, you know, we have different teachers. We have teachers who teach us, the mother is the first teacher who teaches us, you know, how to walk, talk, eat and all. And then our other teachers in school who teach us ABCD, math, you know, computers, all those, geography, history, science and all. But they said the spiritual teacher is the one to be revered the most. That's what one of the commentary of the Swamiji was saying. And that's why Swami Chinmayananda, we do his aarti and we revere him, because it is because of his grace that this whole mission is running, and it was his teachings and, you know, the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads that we all use. So that's why they say the spiritual teacher, one who removes your spiritual ignorance, is the highest teacher, because he gives you the highest knowledge. So that's why he says, among all the teachers, I am Brihaspati. And the knowledge that a teacher gives is the right knowledge of what I am supposed to do, what I am not supposed to do, what is the goal of my life, what is the purpose of my life. So right knowledge is that which the teacher gives us, the spiritual teacher. talking about right knowledge, having right knowledge, there was this teenage boy who was riding his bike, and he parked it right on Pennsylvania Avenue, a couple of blocks from the White House, right in front of the White House. He parked his bike. And so this policeman came and said, "Son, you can't park your bike here." So he says, why can't I park my bike here?" He says, "Well, the president drives by here all the time. Senators and congressmen drive by here all the time." He says, "Oh, president and senators and congressmen drive by?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Don't worry, I have locked my bike." "You don't have to worry." So he had the right understanding
of his politics.
So the spiritual teacher gives us the right knowledge. That's what he says. "Among all the teachers, I am Brihaspati." That's why currently we see planet Jupiter. Recently we saw Jupiter and Saturn together. So Jupiter represents Brihaspati, the supreme teacher of the Devas. And then he says, "Among the Senani." Senani means among the generals, among the great warriors, "I am Skanda." Now, who was Skanda? Skanda is worshipped mostly in South India as Subramanya or Kartikeya. It is said Skanda is the son of Lord Shiva and Parvati. So there is a beautiful story how Skanda appeared, and it is said that there was a demon called Tarakasura. Now these demons, even though they were demons, but they had this ability to do tapas, and they would do tapas for years and years. Tremendous force of willpower they had. And so this Tarakasura did tremendous tapas, and he said he invoked Brahmaji, the creator, and Brahmaji appeared and said, "What would you like?" And Tarakasura, you know, as these demons, they all want to become immortal. They said, "I want to become immortal. I should never die." Brahmaji says, "That I can't give you. You know, whoever is born has to die. But you can put conditions, and whatever conditions you put, I will satisfy them." Because he had done so much tapas that Brahmaji had no choice but to give him his wish. So he said, "I should only be killed by the son of Lord Shiva." So he thought Lord Shiva, first of all, is ever in meditation. He's a complete vairagi. He has no interest in anything. He's all the time in meditation. So he's not going to get married. Even if he's get married, what is the guarantee he'll have a son? So he said, "I am as good as immortal. Nobody can destroy me." So Brahmaji says, "Tathastu, let it be." And he disappears. So now Tarakasura is very happy because only the son of Shiva can destroy him, and the son of Shiva has not appeared. So he goes around, you know, destroying everything and making himself powerful. He makes himself so strong that he takes over the earth, he takes over the lower worlds and heavens, and he drives the devtas out of their homes, out of their palaces, and he's the leader of heavens and all, and his demon soldiers are controlling everything, and they are making life miserable for everybody. And the gods go to Brahmaji and say, "You know, why do you give boons to such people?" Brahmaji says, "I don't have a choice. When somebody has done tapas, I have to give him." It's like somebody who studies and goes to class, the teacher has to give him an A. You know, the teacher doesn't have a choice. She can't say, "Oh, this boy I like, so I'll give him an A. This boy I don't like, I'll give him a C." No. A teacher has to give Brahma, whatever is your, what you deserve. So Brahmaji said, "I didn't have a choice. I can't do anything." So they say, "Now how can we have Lord Shiva have a son? Voto, he's always in the Himalayas, in meditating, in Kailash, and he doesn't even come down." So it is said that Lord Shiva had a wife, Sati. That's a long story, but Sati had sacrificed herself in the fire because her father, Daksha, had insulted Lord Shiva. So this Sati was born again as Parvati ji, and she did years and years and years of constant penance. And finally, her penance was so strong, so powerful, that it reached Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva then came out of his meditation, and Parvati ji and Lord Shiva were united, and Skanda appeared as their son. And Skanda, the moment he appeared, then he grew up and he became a great warrior, great general, and all the gods gave him their weapons. Lord Vishnu and all of them, Vayu and Agni and all of them gave him their weapons. And with that, he destroyed Tarakasur and destroyed all his demons and reestablished the rule of law and goodness. So that's why Bhagavan Krishna says, among the generals, I am Skanda. I am the, among the warriors, he is noted as the highest, the best. And Sarasam Asmi Sagaraha. Sarasa means bodies of water. In bodies of water, Asmi, I am Sagara. Sagara means the ocean. So among all the bodies of water, I am the ocean. And as we know, ocean is the largest body of water. In fact, 3/4 of the earth is covered by the ocean waters, the Pacific, Atlantic, and so on, Indian Ocean, and they cover the entire globe, 75%. In fact, our body also is 75% salt water. If you look at our body, it contains 75% of water with sodium chloride. So we have a mini ocean within all of us. So the ocean is not only outside, but the ocean is within. So we are connected with the totality, with the ocean, with the entire earth through our body. Our body also is mini oceans. And just as the oceans we find have been so heavily polluted right now, some of the oceans are so bad, there is so many bacteria, so much chemicals, that you can't even go in the beaches to take, to take a dip in the water. That's how heavily we have polluted our ocean. Of course, we have polluted the air and the earth also. So just as the ocean is polluted by impurities, we pollute our body and mind the same way. Body by wrong kind of food, putting wrong kind of foods in it, and our mind by polluting with wrong ideas, wrong emotions, anger, greed, jealousy, ignorance. So that's why, studying the scriptures helps us to understand what is the purifier. The purifier is the knowledge. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyati. There is no greater purifier than knowledge. And this knowledge is what Bhagavan has given us in the Bhagavad Gita. So one has to be very careful not to pollute our body and mind with the wrong foods and with the wrong ideas, but keep our mind filled with devotion, with reverence for God and love for all. That is what the Mahatmas teach us. So now we'll go to verse number 25. Continue. Maharshinam Bhriguraham.
Maharshinam Bhriguraham.
Giramasmekam Aksharam.
Giramasmekam Aksharam.
Yajnanam Japa Yajnyosmi.
Yajnanam Japa Yajnyosmi.
Sthavaranam Himalayah. Maharshinam Bhriguraham Giramasmekam Aksharam Yajnanam Japa Yajnyosmi Sthavaranam Himalayah. So Maharshi are the great Sapta Rishis, who is the source of the Vedas, the Upanishads, lot of the knowledge, and then there are other disciples. So these are the 7 great rishis, and among the Sapta Rishis, the one that is mentioned first is Bhrigu Rishi. And among the Sapta Rishis, among the great rishis, I am Bhrigu. Giram means among the words, the Asmi, I am. Ekam Aksharam, I am the one syllable word which is Om. So among all the words, I am Om. Then he says, Yajnanam japa yajnyosmi. Among all the yajnas, among all the sacrifices, among all the rituals, I am japa yajna. Japa yajna, what is japa? Is chanting the name of the Lord. So he says chanting the name of the Lord is superior to any other method of that you may want to approach me, any other yajna, any other japa. Chanting the name of the Lord is the most supreme, the most superior way to approach God. So as he says, I am japa yajna. We'll talk about that. And sthavaranam, sthavar means the ones that are stationary, the ones that don't move. Among stationary objects, I am Himalaya. Himalaya, because they are the huge mountain range, and I am the Himalayas among all of the mountains. So this is also very beautiful word. So he says, among all the Maharshis, I am Bhrigu. Bhrigu Maharshi was the one who has written several mantras in the Vedas, has made great contributions, himself was a great scholar. And there is a very interesting story associated with him. All our Puranas have beautiful stories. So it is said one time people were doing a grand yajna and they were worshipping Lord Brahmaji, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, and all the three followers of the three gods were there and they were offering their yajnas. There was a huge yajna going on. And a discussion came among them, who is the highest? Who is the best? Is Lord Shiva, Vishnu or Brahmaji? And they started quarreling. So Bhrigu Rishi said, don't fight. I'll go and find out. So he had the ability to go to higher worlds. And it is said he first went to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji was so busy in creating, he didn't even pay attention to him, didn't even talk to him. He said, I don't have time, I'm too busy, you know. So he said, okay, you know, you're busy. Then he goes to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is deep in meditation. Bhrigu tries and he's meditating. He's not, you know, his mind is in the highest worlds. And so Bhrigu says, oh, he's in meditation, I can't disturb him. He goes to Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu is sleeping. See, it is said he always sleeps in Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra means he is in that, on the Sheshna, even though he appears he's sleeping, but he's running the whole universe because of the energy of Lord Vishnu, and it is Lakshmiji who is holding his feet, and together the two of them sustain the entire universe. It is the energy of Bhagwan Vishnu and Lakshmiji together that runs the entire universe. But Bhrigu didn't see that and he thought Vishnu Bhagwan is sleeping. He said, what is he sleeping? He should be doing some work. So Bhrigu kicked him in the chest with anger, and Vishnu Bhagwan woke up. And all the gods thought he'll be angry. And he immediately apologized. He says, oh, Rishi, I am so sorry. You know, my chest is so strong and your feet are so soft. And I hope I didn't hurt your feet. And he just held on to Bhrigu's feet to massage them. And Bhrigu felt so bad. He said, oh, God, what did I do? And so that's why he came down and said, among all the gods, Vishnu Bhagwan has the most patience. Well, that is, you know, just a story. But the point is that all the gods are equal. But in this particular story, Vishnu Bhagwan did the best. So he says, among all the rishis, I am Bhrigu, because Bhrigu is the one who could go to higher worlds.
And also maintenance is harder.
And that's what they're saying. Maintenance is harder than creation and dissolution. It is hard to maintain. So maybe that's why. So because to create is easy. Like to create a child is easy. But then to maintain him for next 18, 20 years is a headache. Get married is easy. But then to maintain the marriage, everybody's nodding their head. Yes, how difficult it is. So same way, to start a company is easy. But then to maintain the company is difficult. So that's why Bhagwan Vishnu is revered. And then Giram Asmi, among all the words, I am Ek Aksharam. And what is that Ek Akshara, one syllable? That is Om, A-U-M. And I am Om. And we know that Om is chanted before any mantra. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So any mantra before we chant, Om is chanted. And why is that? Because Om is the one syllable that is divided into three, A, U, M. Some people also write as OM, O-M, but if you OM, if you break it up, it is A, U, M. So A represents the waking state, U represents the dream state, and M represents the deep sleep. So in our day, we go through all three, waking, dream, and deep sleep. Some of you might be in deep sleep right now. So that's why I have to keep telling jokes to wake everybody up. So how is that? It's a very lengthy explanation how AUM represents waking, dream, and deep sleep. If you are interested, please read the Mandukya Upanishad, which has described it in great detail. And actually, we will have Vimalji coming back sometime in February or March, who will be telling us about Mandukya Upanishad. So it is said OM represents waking, dream, and deep sleep. And then the chanting of OM is accompanied by silence. So you say OM, and then there is silence, and then you start the second OM. So the silence is said to be Turiya, or the state of enlightenment, or the state of consciousness. So OM is not only the waking, dream, and deep sleep, but the silence accompanying OM represents the totality, the total consciousness, Brahman, the Turiya state, and that's the state of enlightenment. So that's why among all the words, I am OM. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the 8th chapter, he says, OM ite kaksharam vyaharan mam anusvaram yah prayati tyajan deham tato yati param gatim. So one who chanting OM continuously, vyaharan, and remembering me, mam anusmaram. So not only chant OM, but when you chant OM, you remember that this represents the Supreme Lord. So one who leaves his or her body chanting OM and remembering me reaches the highest, the param gatim. So that's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna says. That is the glory of OM. OM is also mentioned in the other Upanishads, in Chandogya and so on. The glory of OM is mentioned. So that's why Bhagavan says, among all the words, I am OM. And then yajna nam japa yajnyosmi. Among the yajnas, what are yajnas? Yajnas are the invocations to God, where you connect your mind with God. And yajnas are the offerings in the fire. But even as in the 4th chapter, anything can become a yajna. Study can become a yajna. Cooking can become a yajna. Teaching can become a yajna. So any activity, work, when you go to work in the workplace, everything can become an offering to God. And of course, the yajnas are the offerings in the fire that the Brahmins, the Pandits do. But he says, among all the yajnas, I am japa yajna. So why is japa yajna revered so much? Japa is what it is. It is chanting the name of Lord with devotion, concentration, and full attention. Not mechanically chanting Om, 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 or Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah, but chanting with attention. Why? Because they say that for all the other yajna, say you want to do offering in the fire, what you need to do, first you need to have a havan kund, then you need to have samagri to offer in there, you need to have a priest to perform the, and then he has to know the mantras, and then you have to sit with devotion, take a bath, and then put offerings in the fire, and then give food to everybody. So it needs so much work. But to do japa yajna, do you need anything? No, you don't need anybody. You don't need a pandit. You don't need a kavan kund. You don't need anything. You can do japa yajna anytime, anywhere you can do japa, sitting anywhere, anytime and anyone. See, again, these offerings, yajnas can only be done by pandits or brahmins and, you know, so on. You have to have certain qualification. You have to know the mantras, chant them correctly. But to do japa, you don't need to know the mantra. You just say Ram, 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 or Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna. But not mechanically, but say it with attention. So anytime, anyone can do it. And it says even when you are sick and you are lying in bed, what can you do? You cannot get up and do any puja. You cannot go to the puja room and offer Just lie down and chant the name of the Lord, and that is the best way to connect your mind with God. That's why Bhagavan says, among all the yajnas, I am Japa Yajna. Japa is can be broken up into two, Ja and Pa. So Ja means Janma. So chanting the mantra frees us from the birth and death. Janma and Mrityu, the cycle of birth and death, you can be liberated just by chanting. Somebody asked Guruji, what is the best thing I should do to reach God? Guruji says, just chant the name of the Lord. They say, chanting se ho jayega? Will it happen? Yes, so Guruji says, it will happen. Just do it with devotion, and that is the most powerful. Of course, study and all the other karma yoga and service and all are good, but just chanting the name of the Lord has tremendous power. And that's what we know, the story of Valmiki. We have talked about that before. Ratnakar was a thief, and when he met Naradji, and Naradji advised him to chant the Ram name, Ram mantra, just by chanting Ram, 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 he became Valmiki. He became a great sage, and he wrote the Ramayana in Sanskrit. He was the Adi Kavi. He was the first one to write this huge Ramayana of 24,000 verses, was written by him in Sanskrit. And he was the thief and a dacoit, totally uneducated. Just by chanting Ram's name, he became a great scholar. Of course, he stayed in one place for many years, where actually an ant hill grew around him. That's how many years he was meditating in the forest. And that's why his name became Valmiki, because Valmik means ant hill, and Valmiki means one who came out of the ant hill. So that is the glory of Japa Yajna. And Sthavaranam Himalaya, among the mountains, I am Himalaya, among the mountain ranges. They say, well, there are so many mountain ranges, you know, there is the Alps in Switzerland, you know, which is so beautiful. There is the Rockies in the North America, which is much longer and larger than the Himalayas. Why does Bhagavan Krishna say Himalayas? Because other mountains are used for hiking, for skiing, you know, for those kind of activities. Leisure activities, you know, entertainment. But the Himalayas are where the rishis meditated. And the knowledge that we have all came from the rishis meditating in the Himalayas. So the Himalayas are the abode of Himalaya, means the abode of snow. But they are also the abode of knowledge. So all our Vedas came to us, all our spiritual knowledge came to us from the Himalayas. So that's why Bhagavan says, among all the mountain ranges, I am Himalayas. The last verse we'll do today, verse number 26. Ashwattha sarva vrikshanam.
Ashvattha sarva vrikshanam
devarshinancha naradah gandharvanam chitraratah siddhanam kapilo munihi together. Ashvattha sarva vrikshanam devarshinam cha naradah gandharvanam chitraratah siddhanam kapilo munihi. So ashvattha sarva vrikshanam, vriksha means tree. So among all the trees, I am the ashvattha tree. We'll talk about that. And then he says, Devarshi, the divine rishis, the very great rishis who are connecting, all the time connected with God, among them, I am Naradji, I am Naradaha. And cha means and. So and among the Devarshis, I am Narada. Gandharva nam Chitraratha. Who are Gandharvas? Gandharvas are the celestial musicians. And among them, I am Chitraratha. And among the Siddhas, Siddhas, we'll talk about what is a Siddha, but among all the Siddhas, those who have this spiritual power, I am Kapila, Kapila Muni. I am Muni Kapila. I am that. So, why are trees revered? Because trees are like Mahatmas, you know, because our pledge also says giving more than what we take and, you know, giving more than what we consume and, you know, producing more than what we consume and giving more than what we take. So that is our pledge of the Chinmaya mission, that we should give to society more than we take. And Mahatmas do that, all the great Mahatmas. If we find they take very minimum from society, they have none of their own, you know, home or property or nothing, and their whole life is spent in service. When we see all these Swamijis coming to Bakersfield, how much they have given us, and whatever we all know, it is because of the contribution of Puja Gurudev and then all the other students, Swami Tejomaya Nandaji, Ishwaranandaji, and so on. So trees are like Mahatmas because they take nothing from society. What do they take? Nothing, just water and from the ground, whatever little, and they give us so much back. Trees, they take sunlight and give us shade. They take carbon dioxide constantly from the atmosphere and give us oxygen. If there were no trees, no beings would be able to survive. Humans, animals, birds, fish, nobody would be able to survive if there were not trees, because they give us oxygen constantly. They give us shade. They give us fruits, such beautiful, delicious fruits. And even when the tree is cut down, its wood becomes firewood. They give us paper. So there is so much contribution. That's why they say trees are like rishis. They are standing there serving us. And some of them live for hundreds of years, thousands of years. You know, General Sherman in Sequoia is 2,500 years old. And that many years, this great tree has been serving us. So that's why they say trees are to be revered and worshipped, not to be just cut down. And that's why planting of trees is one of the great seva, great service we can do. So he says, among all the trees, I am Ashwatha. Now, Ashwatha is said to be the people tree, which is a very interesting tree, because one tree grows and then it spreads and then it again sends roots down to the ground. And so it keeps spreading for miles and miles. There is one in the botanical garden in Calcutta, which is spreads for so many miles, so many acres. Hawaii also, they have a tree. So the point is that Ashwatha, the tree, is also symbolizes the world. Because the world, A, Shwa, and Stha. Ashwatha. So Shwa means tomorrow. Stha means will be there tomorrow. Ashwatha means will not be there tomorrow. So this world is said to be an Ashwatha tree, because whatever is today will not be there tomorrow. The world is constantly changing. What was not there a few years back is here, and now, you know, things have changed. You know, previously we had bicycles, then we had cars, now we have computers, and we have an automatic driven car. So things are changing. We all are changing. We were not there a few years ago. Now we are here. We won't be in the future. Our houses were not there in the past. So everything is not going to be there tomorrow. So the world represents Ashwatha, or Ashwatha represents the world. In the 15th chapter, starts with Urdhva Moolam Adash Shakham Ashwatha Chahur Avyayam. So this world is said to be an upside down tree, because normally the tree has the roots in the bottom and the leaves and branches up. But Ashwatha is said to be an upside down tree. This world is said to be an upside down tree, because what is the root? Root up above is Bhagwan. The Lord is the root. He is the origin. And we are all below. Below, up does not mean only in space, but up in higher, you know, higher level. That's why they say the high command, you know, the high command, like the CEO. He may be on the ground floor of the building, but they say he's the highest. So same way, Bhagwan is the highest. So the roots are above, and we all are the leaves and the branches of this tree. So that's why among all the trees, I am Ashwatha. And it is also said the Ashwatha tree gives the maximum oxygen. If you count any of the trees of the world, when you are next to an Ashwatha tree, you get the maximum oxygen. And that's why he says, I am Ashwatha. Then among Devarshi, among the divine rishis, I am Naradji. And Naradji, his life is very, very interesting. He was born to a maid servant, and she was very poor. But Naradji from childhood had great desire for spiritual knowledge. So anytime any Mahatma came to that village, he would go and prostrate to them and sit next to them. And when they would be giving talks, even when he was little, he would sit with them to learn and understand. So constantly his life was in learning. And then, of course, he used to take care of his mother and earn or whatever. And then his mother passed away after a few years. And then the moment his mother passed, he didn't have father or didn't have anybody else. His father had passed earlier. So he said, now I am free. So then he becomes a sannyasi. And so the rest of his life he spent in teaching and spreading this knowledge and moving with Mahatmas and all. And when he gave up his body, he became the Manasputra of Brahmaji. So the mind created son of Brahmaji. So that was Naradji, was the Manasputra of Brahmaji. And then his job, it is said, he has the ability to travel to all the three worlds. He can be in the heavens. He can go to Kailash, Vaikuntha, everywhere. He can come on earth. And when he comes on earth, he walks like a human. And then he can even go to the lower worlds. But Naradji is said to be the one that brings people to God. So his whole life project has been, not only life, but even afterlife, is to bring people to God. That's why he goes around saying Narayana, Narayana, and encourages people to come to Bhagwan. And that's why even in the story of Dhruva, when he left his father's house, because his stepmother wouldn't let him sit in the father's lap, and he was crying, and his mother said, go seek Lord Vishnu. Then Naradji is the one who gives him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And by chanting the mantra and the advice of Naradji, this little boy becomes enlightened. So that's why Naradji is revered. And also as Valmiki, I just told you. So among all the rishis, I am Narada, Bhagavan says. And then Gandharva Nam Chitraratha. Gandharvas are celestial musicians. And their job is to go in their flying chariots. And they can go to all the worlds. And they mostly stay in the heavens and sing songs and play music for the gods. So when there is dance going on, music programs going on, Gandharvas are the divine musicians. And it is said the ragas came from them. Among the Gandharvas, I am Chitraratha. Chitraratha is said to be the best musician. Just as he can say among the female singers, I am Lata Mangeshkar. You know, so like that. He's said to be the best musicians. And the word Chitraratha is very interesting. Chitra means the best, beautiful. And Ratha means chariot. So he had the best chariot. He not only was the best singer, but he had the best chariot. And then Siddhanam Kapilo Muni. Who are Siddhas? Siddhas are those who have special abilities. So not only they have knowledge, but they have the ability to perform miracles and to do, you know, amazing deeds. So Kapila Muni not only had the tremendous knowledge, but he had the ability to perform a lot of siddhis. He had a lot of powers, a lot of spiritual powers. And Kapil Muni was the one. Why is he mentioning Kapil Muni? Because Kapil Muni had so much knowledge that he actually taught his mother. There is a Kapil Gita where he actually teaches his mother, Devahuti, about the spiritual knowledge. Beautiful text. It's available in the Chinmaya Mission, Kapil Gita. So he gives this knowledge to his mother. And Kapil Muni is said to be the author of the Sankhyan philosophy. What is Sankhyan philosophy? Sankhyan philosophy is the systematic study of the scriptures. As we said, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya means Sankhya, counting. So the systematic treatise or teaching of the scriptures is this method of teaching was started by Kapil Muni. And the Bhagavad Gita, the Kathopanishad, and so many of the Vedas follow this method. Of course, the Sankhyan philosophy has a different goal from Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, because the Sankhyan talks about Purush and Prakriti, matter and spirit, and then talks about the difference between God and humans and all that. While the Gita and the Vedas and the Upanishads talk about oneness, that there is only one entity called Brahman, which appears as many. So there are some differences in the philosophy of the Sankhyan philosophy and the Vedic or the Upanishad philosophy. But the method of teaching called Sankhya is started by Kapil Muni, and that is the method of teaching that we follow in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's why he says, among all the munis, what is muni? The word muni means mananashilavan, one who is able to contemplate. And muni also means maunam, so one who stays in silence, does not speak too much, but always is in contemplation. And when he does speak, he speaks word of wisdom, words of wisdom. So that's why he says, among the siddhas, among the people who have the knowledge and the abilities, I am Kapil Muni. So here we see Bhagwan has given us beautiful examples of where you can see him. So the idea being that when you see a tree, you remember God. When you see, when you see the a wise person, you remember God. When you see the ocean, see the vast ocean, you remember God. When you see chant Om, you remember God. When you're doing japa, do it thinking about God. When you see the mountains, not only the Himalayas, but even next here in Bakersfield, we have some beautiful mountain ranges you can see. So the idea being that wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you can remember God. So take each one of these as a pointer that if I want to remember God, you see a flower, you remember God, you see the sunrise, he will talk about sun and he had said, I am the sun among the lights, I am the moon among the stars. So the idea is that whenever you see any of these beautiful things, when you see a person who is very intelligent or somebody who has composed a beautiful poem or written a great piece of music, he says, among the musicians, I am Chitraratha. So when you hear the music, remember God, that it is God who has given this ability. So that is the idea of this 10th chapter, to remind us.